following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Will hydrogen bombs destroy New York, Los Angeles, and Toronto? Yes, that is what I said, for I have it on the highest authority that our major cities will be destroyed. You need to know how, when, and why, for your very survival is at stake. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, will hydrogen bombs destroy our cities? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, we are entering a new era in this world's history since September 11th, 2001. Like it or not, the fact remains that every major weapon that has ever been invented has eventually been used. Think about that. Way back in his inaugural address in 1953, United States President Dwight David Eisenhower stated the following, "Science seems ready to confer upon us, as its final gift, the power to erase human life from this planet." End of quotation. My friends, atomic scientists now tell us that the newer atomic bombs are 1 million times more powerful than a non-nuclear bomb of the same size. And a hydrogen bomb is 1,000 times more powerful than that. That's something to really ponder. Think also about the awesome power and destructiveness of these atomic and hydrogen bombs, and realize they may soon be in the hands of terrorist organizations and terrorist nations. Since the horrifying tragedy of September 11, 2001, nothing will be exactly the same from now on. The Associated Press recently quoted the second richest man on earth, a very highly respected man for his wisdom in many ways, Warren Buffett, as stating the following, quote, "Investment guru Warren Buffett offered a bleak prediction for the nation's national security, saying a terrorist attack on American soil is, quote, virtually a certainty." End of quotation. Later, he said, "We're going to have something in the way of a major nuclear event in this country." Yes, my friends, Washington, New York, London, Los Angeles, Toronto, and other cities of that sort are very likely targets in the next several years. It is time for all of us to wake up. It really is. For there is a great God who is working out a purpose on this earth. He's going to intervene. He's going to take care of things eventually, but there are going to be some terrible times in between. What does this great God say about all of this in his inspired word? When Jesus' disciples asked him about the end of this age, the end of 6,000 years of human experience under the influence of Satan the devil, of course, Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one deceives you." You need to know, because the majority of people, God's word tells us clearly, are going to be deceived. Jesus said, "For many, not a few, many will come in my name." They'll use the name of Christ, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, tremendous lack of food. And that lack of food is finally going to hit right here in the United States and Canada, believe it or not. Famines, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows." That pattern of events, false prophets, terrible warfare, then lack of food, disease epidemics, and other terrible things, that is going to be the pattern over the next several years. And many of you, most of you probably, are going to live to see that, and you need to understand. Verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." somewhere on this earth is a true church of God called the little flock by Jesus, not the big major political church, but the little flock, and they will be hated, but they will be doing the work of God. And so he said in verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We're preaching that gospel on this program, my friends. Notice verse 21 now. Then, Jesus said, there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's going to make World War II look like a tea party, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to say that. I love the United States. I love our peoples. I love the people in Canada and Britain and elsewhere. But God is going to rebuke and chasten us as he chastens every son he loves. Not every son he hates, but every son he loves. He's going to have to wake us up. And so he's going to send the greatest tribulation in human history. So great that nothing has ever been like it. And unless those days were shortened, verse 22, no flesh would be saved. In other words, every human being would be blasted off this planet, cosmicide. And that would certainly include the destruction of our cities. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The great God will intervene. He promises that. Do you believe what Jesus Christ said? Remember back here in verse 15, he also talked about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet being set up in a holy place. And some terrible event is going to happen in Jerusalem where they're going to put up an abomination there. And you need to watch for that. But throughout the New Testament, Jesus and his apostles referred continually to the Old Testament scriptures, as we call them, as the inspired word of God. Remember, that's all the Bible they had. But they did refer to it. Christ referred to it as scripture, as the word of God, again and again. Notice what Luke was inspired to write in his account of Jesus' Olivet prophecy. In verse 9, he says, wars and rumors of wars. In verse 10, nations against nations and kingdom against kingdom. In verse 11, great earthquakes and fearful sights, and there will be terrorist acts and terrible things happening. And then he said down in verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Jesus is telling us that these prophecies we find in the Old Testament will occur. He says at the very end, they will be fulfilled, all of them. My friends, they will affect your life more than you can begin to realize. That's the reason you need to listen to this program to understand exactly what lies ahead and exactly where we're headed and what you should do. At this point, I invite you to write or call for a powerful, brand new booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. This booklet gives you the entire biblical framework of end time events. This booklet will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. Just ask for the booklet, How God Intervenes. That's all you need to remember, How God Intervenes, and call the number on your screen.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Will hydrogen bombs destroy our cities? Remember how Jesus Christ referred to Daniel's prophecy of the abomination of desolation? Jesus himself constantly validated the Old Testament as inspired scripture. And again, notice Luke 21, verse 22, where we were earlier, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Note that Jesus talked about all things and that they will be fulfilled, the prophecies of the Old Testament. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. My friends, the book of Ezekiel, as all scholars acknowledge, Protestant, Catholic, whatever, they all know that Ezekiel was written over 100 years after the fall of ancient Israel. Israel went into captivity about 721 B.C., that is, the house of Israel, because Israel had split off from the Jews, which is a historical fact. And for several generations, you had the house of Israel and the house of Judah having wars one against another. You go back and read about it in Kings and Chronicles. Israel was fighting Judah, and Judah was fighting Israel. That's the truth. A lot of you don't know that. You think Jew and Israel mean the same thing. They do not mean the same thing. And in biblical prophecy, they're talking about two separate peoples, although eventually they're going to come back and we one people again. But here he's talking about the 10-tribed house of Israel. They were called the Lost 10 Tribes. And this is a prophecy written after the first punishment on the ancient house of Israel. And it does refer and can refer only to what's going to happen to the peoples of the United States and their British descended peoples at the end of this age. We've explained to you many times in our booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain explains it very carefully. And you can always call or write for that booklet if you don't have it yet. We've advertised that booklet again and again. We are the descendants of those people. God said to Israel that they were going to be the most powerful nation and company of nations, or commonwealth of nations, at the end of the age. And at the very end, of course, he would punish them. So he's already started punishing the British and has taken away their empire. They have no British empire anymore. And we are right now at the apex of our power in the United States. And things are beginning to happen to break the pride of our power and bring us down. And the prophecies are very specific on that. We are the descendants of the ancient 10-tribed house of Israel, the so-called lost 10 tribes, and they have been found. Again, get our booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. And many of you already know that. That is our identity. We are those people. He is here in this book talking about us. That's the key to understanding end time prophecy. And when you understand that, the newspaper comes alive. The television news comes alive, and you can see what is happening and why and where it's leading. He said, go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I have given you. So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. You're to tell them what I say. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar language or hard language, but to the house of Israel. Ezekiel never got to fulfill that fully at all. And this is a prophecy for the end time, as you will see. And so he says in verse 7, but the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. People don't want to hear about God. They've often been turned off by mainstream religion, of course. That's part of the problem, as I explained in the last program. But God is going to have to get through to get our people's attention. And so he says over in chapter 4, verse 1, you also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it. Build a siege wall against it. Heap up a mound against it. Set camps against it and place a battering ram against it all around as though you're attacking Jerusalem. Take an iron plate as an iron wall between you and this city like you're going to besiege it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. And notice, which helps us understand, verse 4, also lie on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. And then he says in verse 6, when you've completed these days, lie on your right side, and then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. One is the house of Israel, one is the house of Judah, the Jews. Chapter 5, he continues, and you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take it as a barber's razor, pass it over your head and your beard, and then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. So he was to again do sort of a mock thing, shaving off his hair. You shall burn with fire 1/3 in the midst of the city. when the days of the siege are finished. Then you shall take one-third and strike around it with a sword, and one-third you shall scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. What is he talking about? Turn to verse 12. He says, one-third of you shall die in the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and one-third shall fall by the sword all around you, a coming attack on our peoples. And I will scatter another third to the winds and draw out a sword after them. A terrible national punishment, a terrible national slavery is predicted when you understand it. He says, you shall take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Some few people will listen to God's warning. God grant that that may be some of you. And they will be set aside. They will be protected by God Almighty from this terrible tribulation that is coming. He says, then take some of them. Even some of them in the midst of protection will get sassy and rebellious. Take some of them again and throw them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there, a fire will go out into all the house of Israel. He's talking about the 10-tribed house of Israel, and he talks separately about the Jewish people. He says down in verse 7, therefore thus says the eternal God, because you multiplied disobedience more than the nations around you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgment of the nations around you. Therefore, thus says the eternal God, indeed I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And I will do among you what I have never done. Get it, my friends? God will do among us what he has never done. This reminds us, I hope, of Matthew 24, verse 21. Which we just read, a time of punishment, of tribulation so great that there has never been the like it, nor ever will be again. There can't be two or three times like this, but it's only one time. And I will do among you what I have never done, because of all your abominations, because of our sins, my friends, he's going to punish us, as a loving father will punish his child who is rebellious. Notice over in chapter 6, verse 1, now the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, the literal mountains and hills of Israel, and this can include the nations, sometimes mountains as a symbol, because Israel is divided into a lot of different nations, the 10 different tribes of Israel, and you have the British and the Canadians and Americans and Australians and the people of New Zealand and the English-speaking people of South Africa, and you have the peace-loving democratic nations of northwestern Europe, frankly, who are descended also from the 10 tribes of Israel. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. And he says, even I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places, your places of worship. That's what they were in ancient times. Our land is filled with paganism, and we don't realize it. Then your altars will be destroyed, your incense altars will be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones on all your altars. That's what God says here. Notice verse 6. This is a key verse. Ezekiel 6, verse 6. And all your dwelling places, the cities, shall be laid waste. There it is. God says specifically, our cities will be destroyed. Yes, through atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, or by whatever means, the great God who gives us life and breath is going to shake us, and he will simply destroy our cities because we've turned away from him. Unless we repent as a nation, which would help postpone this punishment, it's going to come. It's going to come, my friends, in the lifetimes of the vast majority of you. Why? Why would God allow this to come on our peoples? Don't we call ourselves Christians? We call ourselves that, but we don't act like it, do we? Turn to Ezekiel 6 now, and beginning in verse 9. He says, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart. Yes, our nation is filled with adultery, sexual perversions, TV programs that show and make fun of people that are in all kinds of vile lifestyles. Absolutely vile before the great God. And we're advertising this, laughing about it, glorying in it. I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they've committed and all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. Finally, people are going to know there is a great God in heaven. That God is real, my friends. That God is already beginning to intervene and shake us. And we're going to be shaken so much more than we've been shaken by recent events that there's no remote comparison. God help you to understand and begin to really read this book. Verse 11, thus says the Eternal God, pound your fists and stamp your feet and say, alas, for all the abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, famine, and pestilence. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 4. Now, these are the words the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For those of you who think, well, Israel and Judah mean the same, how come he keeps talking about them as two separate peoples? He says the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And here he talks about that as he did back in Ezekiel 4. He says, do this for the house of Israel and then do this for the house of Judah. Two separate peoples at the time of the end. Thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Why are men all bent over, scared to death by what's going to happen? He says here, like a woman in labor, all faces turn pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. What does that remind you of? The greatest time of trouble in human history. Well, we just read about it, didn't we? In Ezekiel chapter 5. We just read about it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. A tribulation so great there has never been the like before, known or ever shall be. Here it is again. And whose trouble is it? Is it trouble on the Chinese, trouble on the Russians, trouble on somebody else? No! It's trouble on Israel and Judah, because the peoples of America and the British descended peoples are not just cousins or distant relatives of the Jews. We are brothers. We were all originally part of the 12 tribes of Israel, all of us. And we need to learn to love the Jews and to love one another, as we often don't do even individually in our nation, unfortunately. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Israel, as they say. That's our name, my friends. I know you're not used to that, a lot of you, but we are the house of Israel. And these things are beginning to happen to us. And we need to understand. But he shall be saved out of it. Boy, will we get into it. It'll be a terrible punishment. It won't be fun. We can sing, as I do, God bless America. And we should. But God sometimes blesses America or any other nation by shaking them, humbling them, and helping them to wake up. And that's what he's going to do to us. He shall be saved out of it, for it shall come to pass in that day that I will break his yoke from your neck, burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. They shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. It's the time of the resurrection from the dead. Notice verse 14. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. I've wounded you with the wound of an enemy. Our allies are called lovers throughout the Old Testament. With a chastisement of a cruel one for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. We're punished by God because of our mounting sins. My friend, may God help you to repent. May God help you to begin to seek the real God, the God of the Bible, the God of this book, as you have never done. And turn powerfully back to God, who is beginning to intervene himself powerfully in world affairs. Millions of you have been involved in adultery, sexual perversion, crime, alcoholism, drug addiction, lying, cheating, and in many other ways, dishonoring the God who gives you life and breath. Quit playing games. Wake up. Quit holding back from the God of the Bible. He is speaking to you through my voice now. Will you listen? Again, my friends, be sure to call or write for your free copy of our powerful booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. This book will give you the big picture of what is really going to happen over the next several years. Just ask for the booklet, How God Intervenes. That's all you need to remember, How God Intervenes. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, I'd like to help you understand what you should do with this powerful information that I've just been giving you. Please turn in your own Bible to Joel, the second chapter. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is at hand. The day of the Lord is a term mentioned about 30 times in your Bible, the time of God's intervention at the end of this age. He says over here in verse 12, "Now therefore, says the Eternal, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Are you willing to do that, to seek God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, as you have never done? God help you to do so. Get a little bit excited about the future, about your very life. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Eternal, your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. If you personally begin to study the Bible as never before, if you begin to cry out in fervent prayer to God, the God of heaven, He will hear your prayer. He will give you understanding. In Jesus' name, I call upon all of you, including thousands of ministers who have been misguided, who've turned aside. I call upon all of you to repent of breaking God's laws and defiling His name by your wretched conduct. It is time to act. May the God of heaven give you understanding, and may He give you the courage to act on the truth. Again, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of our powerful new booklet, How God Intervenes. And tune in every week to hear the Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.